God our Father, we want to thank you for mothers, for the love and the joy, for the care that so many of us have experienced from our mothers, for that special bond. Father, we pray for mothers. We pray that you'll equip the mothers here, the mothers in our church family, with wisdom and patience and care. Help them to persevere. We pray that just as they give so much as they love and care and provide for their children, we pray that they will also experience the love and care of others, of family and friends, and especially your love and care. Father, for those who are pregnant, we pray that you'll protect them and their little babies during this vulnerable time. Father, for those who are new mothers, please give them the rest that they need. Father, we pray that this time in their lives will be a joy. Guard them physically and emotionally and spiritually. Father, you know that for some of us, Mother's Day is a time not only of joy but also of grief. Father, some of us have lost our mothers. There are some who have lost their children. And there are some who are not able to have children. Father, we pray for each one that you'll comfort and provide all our needs. And Father, we pray that you'll help us to honour mothers, to support them in their crucial role that they play in raising up the next generation and building character and disciples to follow Jesus. Father, we also want to pray for all amongst us who are unwell. We continue to pray for Laurie Sharman. We pray for Alison Owers and Betty Clark as they recover from the operations that they had just this past week. Please help them and grant them a swift recovery. And Father, we pray for our church family here. We thank you for the blessing of being part of your people. And we pray that you will continue to fill us with your word and continue to pour out your love on us as you do so generously. Father, we pray that we will be so filled that we will be overflowing with your love and your word so that this entire region may experience your love and your word through us, through our words, through our lives, through our actions. Father, we pray that many, many people in this region and throughout the world may come to follow Jesus just as we do. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you open up your Bibles, Genesis chapter 15, and my wife and the mother of my children is going to read that passage. So thank you, darling.
We're continuing our series in Genesis today. So Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar. So she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that's beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That's why the well was called Beer Lahai Ro. It is still there, between Kadesh and Bered. Excuse me. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael may live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that very day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him.
Thank you, darling. Don't normally get to say that. Now, if you were to go to Tugra Business Park, you might see this today, right? That would be a sign you would see on one of the blocks of land. But as of next Sunday, this is what you'll see, okay? So, transformation taking place. And we've got a lunch next Sunday at 1 p.m, right? So this is just another reminder. Come along and then you can just kick on there after church. You know, there'll be a jumping castle or you can play a game of cricket with the kids or whatever. And we'll gather, we'll sing a couple of songs, have the Lord's Supper and have a barbecue together. Give thanks to God for his provision to us. But today's Mother's Day, isn't it? So it's a day of giving thanks for mums. And so, yeah, good on you all, you mums out there. Let me show you the card that I bought. So, you know, fairly standard-looking Mother's Day card. Now, let's have a look at what might be a standard comment that you put inside. Dear Mum, thanks for your love, your care and patience. You are so special to me. Love your son, and kisses and cuddles. Right? So that's the normal Mother's Day card you might expect. And one of the things I've reflected is sometimes Mother's Day can become a bit idealistic. Right? But here, let me show you the other end of the spectrum. Imagine if you got this card. Mum, you often get cranky and impatient with me. We get on each other's nerves, but you're still my mum, you know, your son. And look at the little comment. It takes on a new meaning. May all the love and happiness you give to others return to you. It's a double-edged sword, that one, isn't it? Now, hopefully you've never received a Mother's Day card like that. And I certainly have never sent one to my mum because she is a terrific mum. But I do it to highlight that sometimes we idealise mothers on Mother's Day. And in reality, motherhood is messy. In reality, motherhood is messy. And so I've actually found a test that you can do before you become a mother. Now, for some of you, it's too late. But this test is a way of just checking with reality as you approach motherhood. And there's three parts to the test. The first is a physical test. And the physical test involves getting a bean bag full of beans and strapping it to your stomach and then wearing it for 9 months. And so just go wherever you go, wear it for 9 months. And then at the end of the 9 months, you let out 10% of the beans and continue on. No, I didn't write the test, but that's what they say you need to do. The second test is the toy test. Right? And what you've got to do is buy a crate of Lego and then you get a friend to randomly distribute the Lego all throughout the entire house. And then you have to be blindfolded and you have to be able to navigate your way around the house from the bedroom to the bathroom to the kids' room to the laundry without screaming because you might wake the little darlings up. Okay, that's the second test. And the third test is the supermarket test. And for this, you need to borrow a couple of small animals. Goats are best. And you take them into the supermarket and let them go, but you need to keep an eye on them at all times, and any damage they bring or anything they eat, you need to pay for out of your own money. Right? And if you sort of can cope with that, then you're sort of on your way to being ready for motherhood. It's a good thing we don't have tests beforehand, isn't it? Now, being a mum is messy and difficult, and we picked that up from Temi, from hearing, you know, of the joys and heartaches of being a midwife. And so even at the moment when new babies come to birth, there is so much vulnerability, so much that can go wrong. And it's the case the whole way through, isn't it? From conception, the pregnancy, the birth itself, and then the toddler years, and you get beyond that, and then there's the adolescence. And there is no easy stage to mothering. And all along the way, at every point, there are so many opportunities for feelings of guilt and for feelings of failure. It's fraught with danger, motherhood. And yet, it is right to honour mums, right? Partly because it is so hard. It's really difficult. Those mothers that manage to persevere and stick at it and continue to show love and care in spite of all that's going on, that is something worthy of honour indeed. Right? And what they're doing is providing a foundation for the next generation. Right? I think our society is built off the back of good motherhood. When it's done well, it is a wonderful thing. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, we're working our way through Genesis, and in Genesis chapter 3 is encapsulated both the hope and the frustration of motherhood. What one of the tasks of the mother is to fill the world. You know, that's the commission given to Adam and Eve, to fill the world and populate the world. Genesis 3:15, after they've eaten the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, God says that the offspring of the woman will crush the serpent's head. There is the hope of humanity, that an offspring, a baby born of the woman, will crush the serpent's head. The hope of humanity is found in motherhood. But the very next verse, there will be pain and in labour and childbearing. Not only is motherhood the hope of humanity, but it is also, we see there acutely the frustration and pain of living in a fallen world. Well, today we come to Genesis chapters 16 to 17, and we come to two great mothers, two of the most influential mothers in history. Their names are Sarai. Sarai, who is the physical mother of the Jewish people. So even Jews today will trace their genealogy way back to Sarai. She is the mother of the Jews, and spiritually, we Christians regard her as our spiritual mother. Incredibly significant lady. And the other lady is Hagar. And Hagar is the mother of the Arab nations. And so today Muslims will see Hagar as their spiritual mother, if not their biological grandmother. And what we see with these two great mothers is not an idealised picture of motherhood. Far from it. What we see is motherhood in all its complexity, warts and all. But I just want to recap, before we come to these two great mothers, I want to recap, over the last few weeks we've been looking at God's promises to Abram. So Genesis 12 is where it all begins. Out of all the people on the planet, God chooses this one man, Abram. And God says, I will bless you. And that blessing will take the form of many descendants.